Hi folks, welcome to a new episode of the 59th Minute FPL Podcast, which is brought to you by The Athletic. I'm Mark McGettigan. You can find me on Twitter at FPL General. Game week 11 is behind us, and we've got a busy week ahead next week, with game weeks 12, 13, and 14 being weekend, midweek, weekend. So it's going to be an FPL roller coaster over the next 10 days or so. Game week 11 was the highest scoring game week of the season so far, the average being 62 points. We often say in FPL that it's a good week to have a bad game week, but this week was an example of when it was a bad week to have a poor game week. Don't worry though, with those three game weeks coming thick and fast next week, it's the perfect opportunity to bounce back if you had a disappointing game week 11. The main headlines from the most recent game week: Calvert-Lewin scored his 11th goal in 11 games this season. KDB and Sterling did the damage for Man City in their 2-0 win over Fulham. Halftime substitutes Bruno Fernandes and Marcus Rashford inspired Manchester United to a comeback win at West Ham. Olivier Giroud continued his good run of form, scoring in Chelsea's 3-1 win against Leeds. Patrick Bamford was also on the score sheet in that one. Wilfred Zaha was the highest scoring player of the game week, racking up 18 points against West Brom on his return to action. Jamie Vardy scored a late winner for Leicester at Sheffield United. Son and Kane provided goals for each other yet again in a 2-0 win over Arsenal. Jota was benched for Liverpool as Salah went big against Wolves. And finally, on Monday night, Danny Ings returned to action from the bench to score a penalty, which won all 3 points for Southampton against Brighton. The Game Week 12 deadline is on Friday this week, so make note of it, 6:30pm UK time. It's worth noting as well, so Game Week 12 deadline is Friday, then the Game Week 13 deadline comes pretty soon after that. It's on Tuesday, and it's at 4:30 UK time, so it's a bit of a nightmare, especially for people who work until, you know, 5 o'clock on a weekday. You've got to make sure your FPL team is locked in by 4:30 on Tuesday. That's for the following game week, so keep that in mind. The next three deadlines are Friday this week, then there's Tuesday, and then it's Saturday. If you're not yet subscribed to The Athletic, this week is a good week to do so because there's a new sign-up offer. You can, if you buy a subscription, you can then gift a subscription to somebody else. So basically buy one, get one free. Perfect gift for somebody this Christmas if you're like me and you're doing your last minute shopping and you haven't got it all sorted out yet. To get that offer, go to theathletic.com/FPL pod. In doing so, you'll be able to get ad-free versions of this podcast, my weekly FPL column every Thursday, and you'll also be able to take part in the weekly Q&A, which myself and Ben Dinnery do on Fridays. Yet again, there's no new members to the 59th Minute Club. It's been probably 3 or 4 weeks now since we've had a new member. A couple of notable mentions, a couple of 61-minute appearances, Anthony Martial for Manchester United. Andre Gomez as well, who came off the bench in that Everton game, managed 61 minutes. He's already in the 59th Minute Club, so he's very close to getting a second shout-out. Christian Pulisic, another player who came off the bench in Game Week 11, he managed 60 minutes. And for Leeds, Jack Harrison, disappointing for his owners, he didn't make it to 60. He managed just 56 minutes and a one-pointer. So we're well overdue a couple of 59th minute shout-outs. So hopefully Game Week 12, there will be more than one. A quick review of Game Week 11. I went into the game week with two free transfers, and what I did was I got rid of Jack Grealish and Harry Kane, and I brought in Kevin De Bruyne, who I captained, and I brought in Bamford. So it was good to see both of those players I brought in did well. Obviously, frustrating to see Kane do well again, but it was kind of expected anyway. He's been on fire this season. People were asking me, why did I get rid of Grealish instead of getting rid of James Rodriguez? So this was a tough decision, and I kind of chewed on it all week last week. And in the end, I just wanted to leave myself, on paper at least, stronger for Game Week 11 because James had a good fixture against Burnley. Obviously, in hindsight, looking back now, I probably wish I kept Grealish and got rid of James Rodriguez. But, you know, on another day, James gets you, you know, 8, 9, 10 points against Burnley, and then, you know, keeping him would have been justified. So, yeah, looking back, you know, I probably wish I have Grealish now, and I'm sure he'll come back at some point in the near future. Overall, very good game week, 79 points. That brings my total to 715 for the season. It was a fourth green arrow in a row, so it's nice to see that momentum. I went from 77k to 53k. And I was having a look back this morning, You know, I was asking, why have I got four green arrows in a row? And I think the main reason is captaincy. I went through a period a couple of weeks ago where captaincy let me down, and, you know, that affected my overall rank and my mini league positions. But, you know, four green arrows in a row, it's no surprise that I've hit my captain every week. So last four game weeks, De Bruyne got me 28. The two game weeks before that, Bruno Fernandes got me 20 and 22. And I think it was Harry Kane before that got me 18. So again, it just shows you, it's so important, captaincy in this game. If you can hit it often, you know, you're going to rise through those rankings and up your mini leagues. The good and the bad, more good than bad this week. De Bruyne captain, Son got me 13. Good to see Bamford get an 8-pointer. Calvert-Lewin, consistent as ever with a 6-pointer. Bruno Fernandes, 6 points, even though he only played 45 minutes. Nice to see him pick up a couple of bonus points in that one. Robertson, clean sheet. Good to see that, 6 points there. And Walker Peters topped off the game week with a nice assist last night for that controversial penalty. The bads, the usual suspects here, Aaron Ramsdale, 1 point. I'm asking myself this week, you know, I think there's a question about Ramsdale, so I'll come back to him, but I'm asking myself, should I just rip off the plaster, get rid of Ramsdale even for a -4 this week? So I'll come back to him. Chilwell, just 2 points against Leeds, but kind of expected that because, I brought in Bamford, so I didn't mind too much that Chilwell didn't get a clean sheet there. James Justin, just 2 points for Leicester. He's actually been quite disappointing over the last couple of weeks. He hasn't returned too much, and I'm probably going to look to bench him, you know, as often as possible over the coming weeks. James Rodriguez as well, who I mentioned, another frustrating performance, just 2 points, and there's a very good chance he could leave my squad this week. So overall, my season is ticking along nicely. I've put myself in a good position to go on and have a big season, so hopefully I can continue the upward trajectory over the busy festive period. I'm still planning to hold on to that wild card until game week 16, which is the last game week we can use it this season. A watch list update now. As usual, I'll talk about some of the players I've added and some of the players I've removed. So first of all, which players have I added to the watch list following game week 11? Straight away, the two guys I sold, I added straight back to the watch list because I'm sure I'll own both of them again at some point this season. Jack Grealish and Harry Kane. You know, Grealish is probably most likely to come back in at some point in the near future. Kane, maybe someone I look at when I wildcard in game week 16. Wilfred Zaha has forced me to add him to the watch list again. He's just not going away this season, is he? He's having a very good season. We're all trying to fit in all the big hitters in midfield at the moment. We've got the likes of Son and Grealish as well. So it's hard, you know, it's hard to fit someone like Zaha in at the moment. Again, I'm unlikely to buy him in the near future, but I think I'll have to take a look at him on my wildcard if he keeps doing it. A couple of players who returned from injury in game week 11 as well are back on my watch list. Trent Alexander-Arnold and Danny Ings. Much like Zaha, I can't see myself buying either Alexander-Arnold or Ings before I wildcard, quite simply because they're just back from injury. There's a lot of games coming up. You know, will Trent and Danny Ings play 3 games in a week next week? I don't think so. Surely there'll be some reduced minutes there to make sure they don't pick up injuries again. So again, these guys are on the watch list probably for when, you know, wildcard for me, game week 16 is only, I think it's only 4 game weeks away now. So yeah, I'll come back and look at those guys when I'm making those wholesale changes. A couple of Manchester City guys have been added as well. John Stones, don't switch off the podcast, 4.8 million. He's played 90 minutes in the last 2 games. Now this is not, you know, I certainly wouldn't go and buy John Stones at the moment. It's just what I want to keep an eye on, because if he can become a regular again, which, you know, he could, you know, Pep's, you know, he's been leaving Laporte out of the starting 11, which has been a bit odd over the last couple of weeks. If Stones continues to play well, you know, there's no reason why he couldn't maybe get his place back. Now, I don't expect to happen. I would expect Diaz Laporte to be the preferred pairing over the course of the season, but it's just that price tag, 4.8 million for John Stones, is one to keep an eye on. Don't go and buy him. Let's give him, you know, maybe another 2 or 3 weeks, and if he can continue to get starts, you know, it's a bargain for a Manchester City defender. Sterling as well, he was on the watch list a few weeks ago. He's back on it now. Good to see him back amongst the points. I think it's been probably 5 or 6 games since he scored before the weekend. He looked good in that Manchester City game against Fulham. And it wouldn't surprise me now. He's the kind of player, once he you know, gets a couple of goals. He could go on a run over the festive period. Again, very hard to fit Sterling in because I think KDB, Salah, Bruno are the three midfielders we're trying to fit in. You know, if Son's there, you don't really want to sell Son either. So it's very hard to fit Sterling in. It's probably one of those, if you already have him, you know, you might want to keep him now after a good performance. But yeah, it's very hard for us non-owners to bring him in. Which players have I removed from the watch list? A couple of injury-related ones. Mikel Antonio, Edinson Cavani and Hakim Ziyech all have injury issues. So I'm not interested, especially during this busy period. Hector Bellerin is gone from the watch list. Now, he did look good. I watched the highlights yesterday. He did look pretty good going forward against Spurs, but I just don't have much interest in an Arsenal defender at the moment, or any Arsenal player for that matter. And the final player removed this week is Theo Walcott. He was only on the watch list while Danny Ings was out. Now that Ings is back, I don't like Walcott as much. I don't think he'll get as many minutes. Off the top of my head, I think he got 68 minutes last night. So again, that just shows you, you know, there's more competition now, especially with Redmond should be back soon as well. So Walcott probably not as nailed on as he was for the last couple of weeks. Time to tackle some Twitter questions now. Thanks as always to everyone who sent them in. I've picked out 10 of the best. First one comes in from Sean Henderson. Is it worth dropping De Bruyne for Salah? Delicious looking Fulham fixture next. Does it sound like I'm chasing points? So yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be in this scenario this week. You know, do I sell Kevin De Bruyne to get Salah, to captain Salah against Fulham? This was part of my thinking, you know, when I made my moves last week. I brought in KDB with the plan of potentially selling him for Salah this week, and then even going back to KDB the following week. So doing the hokey cokey with the big hitters, which is something I don't usually do, but I think it's okay to do so when captaincy is involved. So is it worth dropping KDB for Salah? I sat down last night and I watched the Man City game back, and De Bruyne was phenomenal in that game. And you know, watching it, I just said to myself, I can't sell this guy, even if it's for Salah. So my answer to this question is, if you're considering selling De Bruyne for Salah, I would find another way if you can. And that's what I'm trying to do this week. I'm trying to find a way of getting Salah where I don't have to lose Bruno, and where I don't have to lose De Bruyne and Son as well. I don't really want to lose any of these big hitters who've been doing well for me. So I'm going to try and shoehorn Salah into my midfield, which I'll talk about when it comes to my transfers. So my advice, having watched that Fulham game back, De Bruyne for Salah, if it's your only way to do it, then yes, I think it's okay if you're going to captain Salah. But preferably, if you can get Salah in without selling De Bruyne, that is the ideal scenario here this week. Sean asked, does it sound like I'm chasing points? I don't think so. You know, people will say you're just getting Salah because he did well last week. That's not the case. He's playing Fulham. You know, we've highlighted this fixture weeks ago that this is going to be probably the most popular captaincy choice this week, Mohamed Salah, especially if he gets the night off in the Champions League, which hopefully he will. I think if Salah doesn't start in the Champions League, it's an easy buy and an easy captain. I think it's very similar to De Bruyne last week when he got the rest in the Champions League. He was an easy captain then for the league game at the weekend. So yeah, I think Salah, you know, I was also considering maybe not getting Salah. You know, I could just get Jota instead. But to me, it feels like, you know, maybe trying to be too clever. You know, I think Salah is by far and away the better FPL pick. You know, he's got the penalties and I think he's a more reliable captain than Jota is. We've seen Jota benched last week. So that could happen again. So yeah, for me, I'm leaning towards get Salah at all costs this week. Question from FPL Diet. With all these big hitters flying about, who are your preferred sub 4.5 million defenders to help balance the squad? I like this question because, you know, most of the questions that came in this week were all about Salah, De Bruyne, Bruno, the Spurs guys. But, you know, in order to have them players, we need to have some cheap players in the rest of our squad. So FPL Diet's talking about defenders who are under 4.5 million. So I've looked at 4.4 million and below. And this is a market I may be in myself this week if I'm going to get Salah in without losing Bruno or KDB. Now, I went through all of them and I picked out the ones that I think are decent options. I don't think any of these are excellent options. I mean, at the end of the day, they're 4.3 and 4.4 million defenders. So I've got Balbuena at West Ham is 4.4. Charlie Taylor at Burnley is 4.4. As is Alioski at Leeds, who's quite interesting. He's been playing left back a lot recently. He is always a slight rotation risk. You know, Dallas could go back there and Alioski could drop out. I think Alioski was subbed at the weekend, so that is slightly worrying. Maybe that's a sign he won't start every week. At Brighton, there's a couple of 4.4 million options as well. Webster, who's always a threat from set pieces. You've got Ben White as well, who often plays in midfield. Newcastle have got Jamal Lewis at left back. He's 4.3 million. And at Fulham, there's Anthony Robinson, who's been very impressive at left back. He's a very, very good player. No attacking returns yet this season for Robinson, but I think they will come. So there's a few options for you to consider from the sub 4.5 million bracket. If I had to pick one, I'm gonna spoil my transfer section now, but I may have to go for a 4.3 million defender if I get Salah this week. So I like Lewis. Especially for me with a wild card, it's only short term. I'm only going to have Lewis for 4 weeks. He's got two decent home fixtures in there. I think it might be West Brom and Fulham. Obviously, I need that Newcastle game to go ahead this week to be able to do that. But I like Lewis as a short term option. Long term, probably Charlie Taylor. You know, you can't really go wrong with a Burnley defender, and you know the Brighton guys and Balbuena is probably fine as well. Alioski is probably the most exciting pick here, but he's probably the one that comes with the biggest risk factor as well. So there's a few options for you to consider. Question from Sean. Sean, like myself, Sean says, I've had Ramsdale in goal since game week one. The law of averages tells me a clean sheet is surely around the corner. Would I be stupid to sell him after owning for so long without solid returns? So yeah, I'm in the same boat here, Sean. Basically, I think we've made a mistake keeping him for this long. Sean says, the law of averages tells me a clean sheet is around the corner. I don't really see it that way. The law of average to me tells me that Ramsdale is never going to keep a clean sheet this season. 11 games, no clean sheets. They look like conceding in every game. So for me, you know, I've had enough. I may even get rid of him this week for a -4. Now, the closer I get to wildcard, the harder it is to justify taking a -4 for Ramsdale. But if I look at the next four fixtures before I wildcard, do I see any clean sheets for Ramsdale there? Possibly not. So it could be possibly, you know, 8 points over the next four games. So if I took a -4 for a goalkeeper, let's say I got McCarthy, basically I would probably only need one clean sheet in four from McCarthy to pay back the hit, or at least to break even. And to be honest, selling Ramsdale for a -4 would just be for my own sanity, so I don't have to log in and look at his name every time I log into the FPL website or look at the app. So yeah, it's when it comes to Friday this week, I think I will be tempted to take a -4 and get rid of him. It can be looked at as a protection move as well, because Ramsdale's ownership is extremely low. So if I took a -4 and got in a high owned goalkeeper, someone like Martinez or McCarthy, at least when those guys do get clean sheets over the next few weeks, if I have them, it protects myself a little bit, you know, rather than getting those 2 points from Ramsdale. Now, I don't think I can get Martinez because I've got Steer and I've got Watkins. So if I got Martinez this week for a -4, it blocks a move for Grealish. So I need to be careful around that one. But there is a good chance I will just bite the bullet this week, get rid of Ramsdale so I don't have to look at him in my team anymore. Question from FPL Swiss. Is the goal scoring rate of the likes of Zuma and Vestergaard sustainable? Their record this season is phenomenal, but I'm afraid that when I buy them, they will stop scoring. So Zuma's got 4 goals for the season. Vestergaard has 3 goals. So very, very good numbers for centre-backs. What are my thoughts on these two? I think, is it sustainable? Probably not. But do I think they can still score, you know, another, you know, 3-4 goals over the course of the season? I think they could. I think the reason for that is the deliveries. You know, Vestergaard has Ward-Prowse on the corners. And at the weekend in particular, Mason Mount's deliveries were excellent. You know, he landed the ball on Giroud's head 3 times. You know, we're seeing Zuma get plenty of chances this season from set pieces. He's very powerful in the air. So I like these two. You know, I do tend to go for fullbacks when it comes to FPL defenders. But I think if you're looking for centre-backs this season, or you don't mind buying a centre-back, I think Zuma and Vestergaard are still very good picks. Don't not buy them just because you think it won't last. You know, if they've got Ward-Prowse, you know, the likes of Ziyech, Mason Mount, delivering balls into them. You know, there should be more goals there for these guys. And also, Chelsea are very good defensively. Southampton are capable of clean sheets as well. So you're not just buying them for attack and returns. You're buying players from two pretty good teams who I would trust in terms of clean sheets as well over the course of the season. Next question came in from FPL Mahir. Is Son a must-own at his current price? Is he acting as a premium now? The answer is yes and yes. You know, I always say no player is essential, but look at Son this season. I think he's the first player to break 100 points. You know, effectively he's an out-of-position option. You know, he's basically playing up front. You know, Kane's the one playing the through balls to Son. So he's a midfielder basically playing as a forward. He's cheaper than the likes of KDB, Salah and Bruno, but he's performing... He's performing better. I think he's the highest scorer in FPL this season, or at least he's top two or three. So yeah, he's looking like a must-have this season, and he is acting like a premium midfielder. He's in my team, and I've got absolutely no thoughts to sell him. Question from Crate Digger. Should we keep the faith with Jota or spend the cash on Trent instead? I think the fact that Trent is just back from injury, I would be a little bit wary of going in there, because I think there's a good chance, especially over those three game weeks, over the course of a week, that he'll probably miss one of those, I would imagine. Maybe not, but that would be my guess. That would be my guess for most players in the league, really. You know, there's going to be a lot of rotation over the next week or two, so make sure your bench is in order. So yeah, if I own Jota, I would be happy enough to keep the faith in him. You know, if I owned him, I would be hoping that he wouldn't start Champions League this week. I think there's a good chance that he might, though, given that he didn't play the Premier League at the weekend. But even still, you know, if he doesn't get 90 minutes Champions League, I would be happy enough to keep him and start him against Fulham. Question from Frankismo. Is it safe to go Bruno, De Bruyne, Salah, Son in midfield, even if it means having strikers like Bamford and Calvert-Lewin with no premium defender? So I think a lot of us are probably asking ourselves this question this week. Can we go huge in midfield, you know, possibly bigger than we've ever gone in midfield in FPL, to squeeze in Bruno, De Bruyne, Salah and Son? I think it's fine. I think it's absolutely fine, because these guys are very, very consistent and they're all very, very good captaincy options as well. So we've got the likes of Bamford and Calvert-Lewin who are very good value up front. You know, there's a couple of other strikers you could throw in there as well. You know, I sold Kane last week, so I've moved to three budget strikers. I've got these two and I've got Watkins as well. So that tells you I'm happy enough to go heavy in midfield, a bit cheaper up front and a bit cheaper in defence as well. I've got Robertson and Chilwell, so I do have two premium defenders, but I may lose one of them this week to get Salah in, which I'll talk about more soon. So yeah, I wouldn't be afraid of loading up on midfield. You know, it doesn't have to be long term. You can attack it for the next couple of weeks and you can always lose one of them at some point in the future as well. Question from Chelsea Stan. Definitely a biased question here. Are Reece James and Ben Chilwell the new Trent and Robertson? So far this season, I think they're showing all the signs that they can be the new Trent and Robertson. You know, they're obviously a lot cheaper than the Liverpool guys. Chilwell, I think, is probably the best defender in the game this season. Every time I watch him, I'm just glad I have him. If you don't have him, I would probably look to buy him. And on the other side, Reece James, he's nailed down that place for himself now. He looks good going forward as well. Great deliveries from open play and from set pieces. So I do like that Chelsea fullback double up. You know, the fixtures might not be great short term, but over the course of the season, I think those two are going to score plenty of FPL points. Question from Correlation Causation. Rank the premium assets through game week 15. So over the next few weeks, how would I rank them? I would say number one, De Bruyne. Number two, Salah. And there's not much between those two, really. Number three, Bruno. Again, not an awful lot there, but fixtures are probably better for Liverpool and City. So KDB number one, Salah number two, Bruno number three. And then the number four slot, I think, goes to either Son or Kane. I don't think it matters too much which one you have. Comes down to personal preference here. I've got Son. You know, if I had Kane, I'd be happy enough to keep him as well. So yeah, that's my scenario, or that's my ranking. And I'm hoping to own all four of KDB, Salah, Bruno and Son by the time the weekend rolls around. Final question for this week from Avid FPLer. Assuming you're dead-ending your team for the Game Week 16 wildcard, who is a differential risk you have your eyes on for the next couple of weeks? To be honest, I'm not really looking. I'm not going out of my way to look for differentials just because, you know, I can take a short-term punt on someone before the wildcard. I'm just focusing on the guys, as usual, who I think are going to score me the most points. But I have had a look at my watch list and I've sorted it by ownership. and I've picked out one player from each position. So if you are someone who's wildcarding like me, game week 16, you can take a short-term punt on someone. Diaz at Manchester City is still very low owned. You know, if you're on Twitter, it might feel like a lot of people have him. He's only in 3.3% of teams. So I like Diaz as a defender differential. Rafinha from Leeds as a midfielder is just 5.4% owned. And up front, Danny Ings. Yes, there's some risks about how much game time he'll get over the next few weeks. But, you know, we know when he plays, even if he misses one game, he could do very well over the next four or five. So Ings is owned by just 5.9% of managers. So there's a few differentials. Very unlikely that I'll buy any of those guys. You know, the most likely one would probably be Diaz. But I'm focusing on my midfielders and strikers with my transfers this season. So unlikely that I'll get any of these. It's hard to fit them in because I'm quite happy with my squad. You know, I'm not looking to get rid of too many assets. Thanks as always for the questions, folks. As always, every Monday night, keep an eye out on the FPL General Twitter account so you can submit yours. Game week 12, captaincy and transfers. Now, we'll start with captaincy. I've noted down the best options. I think the standout this week, Mohamed Salah away to Fulham. Hopefully he gets the night off in the Champions League midweek. I think Jamie Vardy is a good option as well. He's got Brighton at home. Son and Kane play Crystal Palace away. I think that's fine as well. Bruno and KDB play each other in the Manchester Derby. Very hard to predict how that one's going to go. And I think it's even harder to predict which of Bruno and KDB are going to come out on top in terms of FPL points in that one. A couple of other ones, if you're feeling risky, Danny Ings against Sheffield United or Timo Werner against Everton away. But yeah, I think this is a week where I don't think it's one to overthink. I think Salah is going to be the runaway favourite, and for good reason. You know, he's having a very good season. He's playing Fulham, who concede plenty of goals. Yeah, so yeah, I think it's Salah this week if you have him. Transfers, I've got one free transfer. I want Salah captain. I mentioned earlier, there is another option for me. If I wanted to avoid Salah, I could just get rid of James Rodriguez and get Jota and hide behind the sofa when Liverpool play. But, you know, I made a captaincy matrix and I've been talking about the matrix for the last couple of weeks. The idea I got from the FPL Black Box, I think it's really helped me. You know, last 4 weeks I've hit my captains. So I think I should focus on that, having the best captain as often as possible in a game week. So this week I think Salah is the best captain. So I'm going to go out and buy him and I'm going to give him the armband. So I'm going to keep it simple and follow that captaincy strategy. The options to get Salah, I think I've got about $2 million in the bank, 1.9. I could do one of Bruno or KDB out for Salah, but as I mentioned, I don't really want to sell these guys. They're very, very consistent, and you know, both of them could do well in that Manchester Derby if there's goals for both sides. Last night I stumbled upon a -4 that I quite like. I like it more than selling one of my big hitters. So what it would be is Robertson, who I love, but if he allows me to get Salah, I don't mind losing Robertson. You know, it's at the end of the day, it's 4 weeks I would lose him for. I could always get him back on a wild card. So if I got rid of Robertson for a 4.3 million defender, it would allow me to get rid of James Rodriguez and get Mohamed Salah. And that would give me the midfield four of KDB, Bruno, Salah, Son. And it leaves me with a strike force of Calvert-Lewin, Bamford and Watkins. So to me, that sounds pretty good on paper for the next couple of weeks. It would leave me with Chilwell as my premium defender and then, you know, a lot of 4.5 options, which is fine because they all play and they actually rotate quite well in terms of fixtures for the next four game weeks as well. So that is my favourite option at the moment. Now, the problem, as always, I've got 0.0 million to do it. So I need to be very careful this week with the price changes. I need to keep an eye on it. I may need to even act tonight or tomorrow night if I want to get Salah in that way. What I like about that one is it gets rid of Rodriguez, who's a problem for me anyway. You know, if I was to get rid of Bruno or KDB this week and then get Salah back the following week, or you know, reverse that transfer the following week, I've still got James then, who's a problem. So yeah, I like that idea. The defender I'd probably be looking at is Jamal Lewis at Newcastle. Now, the other issue there is there's still some slight doubts over that Newcastle game. I think they're back in training today. So hopefully that Newcastle game does go ahead at the weekend, because I would like to play Lewis this week if I buy him. So Lewis would come in because I would start him in game week 12 against West Brom at home. I would start him also in game week 14 against Fulham at home. And then in game weeks 13 and 15, I can just bench him because I've got Walker Peters and Justin there as well. So that is my thinking. Robertson out for Lewis. James Rodriguez out for Salah captain, and go big in midfield for the next couple of weeks. Thanks for taking the time to listen, folks. If you'd like to hear more podcasts from me this week, check out patreon.com/FPL General. Have a good week, stay safe, and good luck for game week 12. I'm hoping to record a day earlier next week for the midweek round of fixtures. So rather than Tuesday next week, keep an eye out for a podcast dropping on Monday. So there'll probably be two podcasts next week, probably Monday for game week 13, and then probably Thursday for game week 14. So don't worry, I've got you covered for the next couple of game weeks. I will talk to you all next week.